Reformed Church.
And it's just been, you know, I have been thinking an awful lot, like many of you already know, an awful lot thinking about the fact that I am his son and that he is my father. Like, that's been a very, very pressing thing and a constant thing in my mind. Well, it was a cool thing. I started to think, you know, Psalm 51 and verse number 5, David says that he was brought forth in iniquity, right? That he was born that way. So that's a really good verse that helps us understand, like, what the problem has been for many, many years, right? That we were born in sin, right? We were born that way. Before you ever even did anything right or wrong, you were born that way. So we needed salvation from the time we were conceived in our mother's womb. We needed salvation, right? And obviously that is why, as our children grow, we bring them up in that knowledge, right? Even if they are not old enough yet to be able to come to that full understanding of salvation, we bring them up in that knowledge, because you're acknowledging, you know, as a parent, this little guy, this little girl needs salvation, right? But then, you know, if we can turn over real quick to John chapter 8, verse number 44, I just kept thinking, not just from a son's perspective, because it's a cool thing to define, like, what a son is, and then to understand what a son is, but it's also good on the reverse side to understand what is a father, right? Because, you know, in other words, it substantiates what I am, right, as a son, but also it helps me to understand what a father is, and it should be the same thing, you know, as far as what it means to me, but, or similar, I should say. In verse number 44 of John 8, I think he gives several examples that are really, really good as to what a father is. And he's saying to the people that he was speaking to, he's saying, you are of your father, the devil. But if you look at it from this perspective, just for a second, that he's saying, you are of your father, right? And the reason why he's saying that they are of their father, right, is because he says, the desires of your father you want to do. So part of the thing of God being our father is that his desires we want to do. So when someone is called your father, right, you want to do their desires. So it's not anymore that it's just about your desires separate and apart from the Lord, right, but that you want to do his desires. So it's a cool thing to look at when he says you are of your father. It's because I want to do the desires of my father. And then he says, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So it's a cool thing that it's describing who he is, and it's really the same thing that the Lord tells us in 1 John chapter 4, where he says, as he is, so are we in this world. Because it's describing the fact that he's a murderer, that he doesn't stand for the truth, that there's no truth in him, that when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, he's a liar. So when we see ourselves as when we're not saved and we lie, right? We lie because that's the way we're born. We lie because we're born in sin. We lie because we're lying, like our father is a liar, right? But it's a cool thing to be able to see that's when the Lord says that he's our heavenly father, he is actually saying in just that word, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, right? He's saying, as I am, so are you, right? As I am, so are you. It's just a really cool way to look at that. Then if we can take a look just real quick, Genesis 41 and chapter 51. He says, Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for he said, for God has made me forget my toil and all my father's house. Like, it's a really cool thing to see there, how that is obviously what the Lord has done for us. He's made us to forget our father's house, but that has happened through the course of a bunch of things that have happened. One is, we were saved, right? And he literally took us out of our father's house, right, and put us in our heavenly father's house, right? Then also what happened, not just did he switch us from our father's house, right, but he also made us new. So it's not like the analogy of the fact, you know, that I was an orphan, or my father died and then someone adopted me, right? Even though, you know, that adoption thing can have some similarity to what's happened to us in the spirit, but it's quite different because the fact is that we received the spirit of adoption that made us brand new. So we were, it's not just that we grew to think like our father, it's that, is that he actually made us just like he is, right? So what so our mind is playing catch up to what has happened. It's not just that we're having a change of heart and a change of mind to start thinking like our father. It's just that he's saying, no, like you literally, you have been made just like as I am. Your mind needs to be renewed to the truth of who you are, right? So he says, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. A good thing to note there is that that's also what happens, obviously, with spiritual mindedness, right? In other words, spiritual mindedness is really a way to say, right, thinking the thoughts of my father, right? Because it is his spirit, right, that is the one that's teaching us. It is his spirit that we are learning from, right? He's the one that's teaching us. So it's learning, like understanding what has happened, right? I am not like my old father, you can say, right? I'm not like him because I'm nothing like him anymore. The Lord says that, you know, what fellowship has light with darkness, right? Like we are night and day to what we used to be. We're nothing like we used to be. So since we're nothing like we used to be, it's not like we left him, but now we're trying not to be like him anymore, even though he's still our father by some kind of biological or spiritual thing. We are connected to the God of this world, then absolutely no way. That there's nothing that links us or ties us to him in any way, right? So the fact that we have that spiritual mindedness is just a cool thing to know. I have in me the mind of Christ, which means that I know all of the thoughts of my Father in me. I have them. We possess the thoughts of God in us. And we can allow that renewing of our mind so that we can continue, just like we have been made like him spiritually, right, that our minds could be renewed to be like his mind, right? And then he says in verse number 52, he says, in the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So obviously the cool thing there is that the way that we are fruitful, he says, fruitful in the land of my affliction, right? That's really, I'll read to you in a second, but that is really John 17, right, where he says, and maybe I don't have to read it to you, I can just quote it to you, in this respect, but where he says, you know, Lord, I'm not asking you, Jesus prayed, that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them in the world and sanctify them by your truth, right? That we, you know, he says, you know, Joseph was saying about his second son, that God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Like in the this world that we were born into, and we were born slaves of sin, right? And so you could call that like the land of our affliction that we were born into. The Lord has, Jesus said, it's not about you being taken out of this world. It's understanding that I am your exit out of the world and allowing me to teach you, right? That even though you're in it, your heart and mind can be kept completely separate of this world, right? Not thinking like this world, not being conformed to this world in any way, but everything, your mind and even your body, right, being changed according to the image that he has already put on the inside of you, the image that you possess already. So it's just a cool thing. You know, those two verses in Genesis 41 have always been a real cool thing, a real significant thing to me about, because those two things he's already actually physically done for us, right? He's taken us out of our father's house, right? Now we have a heavenly father, and he has made us fruitful in the land that used to be the land of our affliction. Today, now, he's made us fruitful by his spirit, right? Because we don't operate the world the way the world operates. We don't have to think like the world thinks, right? We don't have to be caught up in the things of this world. And I'll just stop here with one more reference for you. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, Colossians 3:1, he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, right? Again, that the mindfulness of knowing that we have what he has. I forget what it was that I was watching the other night. I was watching something on TV, and the thought came to my mind about, yeah, just real quick, thinking about, yeah, Lord, just continue, Lord, to make me like heavenly minded, right? Like a mindfulness of your spirit, right? Being heavenly minded, not always wrapped up in thinking about the things of this earth. Because even in the things of the world that we have to think about and sometimes be occupied with, there's wisdom from God for those things. In other words, there's heavenly wisdom that we can apply even to those things, right? And he says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, which is of our old father's house, right? For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. You know, I've always looked at the end of that verse as just a, like basically like a rule of how things happen, right? As I see him, I see myself, right? As Christ appears, as he's manifest and revealed to my heart, right? So am I revealed in that same glory, right? And I know obviously the reference there could very well be, and I'm not positive about this, but could very well be just talking about when it's saying glory, in other words, the second coming of Christ. But obviously it is true and real of us even right now, right? Because it works the exact same way that it'll work in that day. If we jump down all the way to verse number 10, right? Colossians 3:10, it says, the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, right? Just another little stamp on that same thought, right? That we are being renewed in knowledge according to his image, right? In other words, he's saying, I'm your father. I have made you as I am, right? And because you have been made just like I am, I want your mind to be changed, to be able to understand and see clearly that when you're looking at me, when we read something in scripture that's describing his authority, that's describing his goodness, that's describing his kindness, right? That you're seeing a kindness and a goodness that is completely yours as well, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.